Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation has come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Michelle Perry, is red hot for the Messiah. Michelle Perry from Sudan. She'd been called by God to go to Sudan, but that's kind of overwhelming thing for anyone. Then you have a woman alone, and a woman, oh, she would refuse to say she was alone. She said she travels with four, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and herself. But literally no money, just a call of God to go to Sudan. Paint me a picture for someone like myself that's never been to the Sudan. Tell me what I might see if I went to the Sudan.
Well, you would see lots and lots of children, most of which are dressed in rags.
Now, why are there so many children dressed in rags?
Well, because clothing's expensive there, and everything's expensive there. And if you've got something covering your body, you're okay.
Are there many orphans in Sudan?
The last statistics that I heard was in the entire nation of Sudan, both south and north, there were around 3 million orphans.
3 million. How do these orphans survive?
Various ways. In the south, they have a fairly strong extended family structure where they'll go live with an auntie or an uncle. Sometimes that's not a possibility, and then they'll wind up on the streets in many cases.
But how do they survive on the streets?
They'll beg, they'll steal. The girls will get, you know, involved in prostitution, drugs. I mean, just about how any street child survives.
But there's such an inordinate number. What else might I see in Sudan?
Well, you're going to see lots of soldiers toting AK-47s and lots of people who are drunk. Not in the Holy Spirit, not yet at least. Lots of suffering. There's a real weight and oppression over the nation of just a heaviness. And there's a lot of fear that goes on because they've just come out of war. I mean, it's only been a few years since the peace is signed, and things are tumultuous at that. We don't know if the peace is even going to last. So you're going to see mud huts. You're going to see no paved roads. You'll see lack of sanitation. You know, our hospital doesn't even really have a doctor very often at it. At least it went several months without one. And there's no running water and very sporadic electricity. Only a few compounds that actually have electricity. And so our building that we stay in, we're renting, and we're very blessed that it's actually got walls and it's brick, but it's also crumbling down around the ears, and it's been bombed out, it looks like. I don't know if it was or not, but it looks like it was. It's got bullet holes in all of the doors and windows. It's you know, it's quite an adventure.
So you have 77 children.
I do.
And you have the land, and you're about ready to build the community center.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take you back a little bit. When you received that sovereign call from God, you were on your way to India, and God said, not India, Africa, Sudan, one of the worst places on the planet. You went to South Africa and you prayed for how long?
For 3 weeks. Actually, I went to Mozambique first and got to know Iris Ministries and went through their ministry mission training school there for 2.5 months.
What is the most memorable experience about Mozambique and the Bakers?
Gosh, there's so many of them. Honestly, I believe it would be the children. It would be being able to be with the children and look in their eyes and see these kids that absolutely know that they are loved and pour love out, and they will chase you down to pray for you. I mean, it's just great. And
So you had an encounter, though, with the Lord when you were praying in South Africa.
Tell
me about that.
I did. I went from Mozambique to South Africa. And the one place that I was able to stay was in the center of Johannesburg, which isn't known for being the safest place in the world. And I was on Commissioner Street, which was in like the Harlem of Joburg.
And you were traveling with a party of four, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. And I was there in this building that didn't have heat, and it was a ministry center, and they let me stay in an upper room there. It's kind of fitting. And was praying for 3 weeks, because that's what Jesus said to do. And on the eve of the 21st day, Jesus came into the room, and I saw him, and he had the lightnings of heaven coming out of his being. And it was...
I've read about this, but what does that look like?
It looks like blue-white lightning. And it just, I mean, it was like electricity. And it was so intense, I just hit the deck, you know, just laid on my face on the floor, because what else are you going to do? And I'd been praying about where in South Sudan I should go. And I'd looked on the map, so I had some city names in mind. And during this whole encounter, it was about 4 hours long. And the first thing he said was, call a generation to converge in my heart, to come into my heart. So when I thrust them out into the harvest, they will carry my heartbeat.
So you're not after just getting them saved. You're after making them disciples.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're after a movement. We're after revival fire sweeping from the South all the way into the Islamic world. We're not after just, you know, building a village. We're after a movement of love and of God's heartbeat.
What else did he tell you?
Well, he put an Arab baby in one arm and a black African baby in the other. And there's one of two nations in Africa, and Sudan's one of them, that has both ethnicities there present. And I knew he had given me the nation of Sudan. I just knew it. And I'm not the only one he's given it to, but I'm one of them. And so we're just, I'm just so excited that this happened. And then he told me to go to Yei, which is spelled Y-E-I. And he said, it's where you will enter into my promise, Y-E-I. And it's where the young will enter into my promise of revival. And so that's where I went. I said, okay, God, how do I get there? And one step, one revelation, one connection at a time. Before I knew it, I was on a road with five people I didn't really know, on a road that was washed out across rebel territory, in a car I had rented with a driver for a couple of days to drop me off at this new city. And I mean, the adventure really began.
I mean, it's an adventure, but between you and me, aren't there times when you say, yikes, what am I doing here? I must be crazy.
Well, I've had lots of people tell me, you crazy white woman, what do you think you're doing? No plan, no strategy. You don't have any money. You don't have a team. You didn't know where you were going. You don't have a feasibility study. And I told them, I said, well, Jesus already did the feasibility study, and he thinks it's quite feasible. And without him, it would be an impossibility study. And, you know, there are times that I look around, especially when they shoot their AK-47s off at night outside my window. You know, I think, wow, God, what have we gotten me into? But then I look at my little one's eyes, and I look into their faces, and I see the effect of transformational love firsthand. And how could I not be there? How could I not want to run into the place where God is dreaming about? He's dreaming about his Sudanese bride. And I see that reflected in his eyes. So how could I not run there? How could I not go?
I've seen video footage of Heidi Baker. And whenever I see her in Mozambique, she's got children and she's got her arms around them. Is that you?
Pretty much. I mean, it'll be really nice when my other leg arrives, because then I'll have two legs to have kids sit on. Right now they have to fight over the one. But I'm surrounded with them. And even my friends in Sudan, they laugh at me, because I'll stop and say hi to everybody, and I'll have an entourage of kids that follow me, even when I'm just going down to do internet.
Have you had points where you didn't have any money?
Just about. I don't think we've had points where there was $0, but there was definitely not enough to get our next meal.
Tell me one time when you didn't have enough for your next meal and what happened.
Well, we had a gal that was staying with us for a few months when we first started out, and our money at the base had run out. So I was traveling to Uganda to get a withdrawal from our account, and because there's no banks where I live. And so you have to go to another country to get your money. So I left them with what we had hoped would be enough to last just until I got back. But we had to hit some road problems, and I got delayed. And so I was really, really concerned. I had no way to communicate with them, and just praying, going, God, please provide and take care of them. And when I got back, they had a story of this truck pulled up to the compound, went unsolicited. At first they were like, no, we don't want it because we don't want to have anybody pay for it. And they're like, no, 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 your names are on this list and we don't even know how we got on the list. And they came out with these big basins of rice and beans, which are our staples. And so they got food and our kids had been praying for 3 weeks for soccer balls. And we didn't have funds for it at the time. So we said, let's ask Jesus. And of course we hadn't told anybody about this. And so after they give the food out and everyone's like, they're all excited and everything. They said, wait, shh, shh. And they pull out this huge gunny sack filled with soccer balls. And we heard you had kids here. You might like these. Well, you could have heard our kids shout all the way to Khartoum, I think. And then they pulled out another bag filled with jerseys, of soccer jerseys. So our kids not only got food, they got soccer balls and jerseys. And we still to this day do not know how we got on this organization's list.
What's it like when something like that happens?
It makes this mama's heart rest at ease, knowing God's got it. God's got it. He's in control. It's not up to me. It's up to him. And it's just overjoyed. I mean, overjoyed, overwhelmed with joy and gratefulness that Jesus, he's not just concerned about barely enough or just enough. He's concerned with the details and with the things that are important to our kids.
How do you feel when you see all the waste in America?
Hmm.
And you see what your kids and your country needs?
You know, I used to be really angry by it. But I realize when I look, and most people I know don't have a clue here. They don't have eyes to see. They've never been exposed. They don't know any different. And so God really corrected me a couple of years ago and said, they're just as orphaned as the little kids that you pick up on the street corner. And you need to have eyes to see. It's not just about whether you're a physical orphan. It's about whether you're a spiritual orphan, your emotional orphan. And then we have lots of orphans in this land that don't understand they belong. And yes, we've been blessed with provision and we are wasteful with it. But even in our abundance, many people I meet here are poorer than my children will ever be.
Hold that thought. Mishpocha, we're making available Grace Williams' CD called Firefall. It literally will put you in a demon-free zone. It'll give you so much peace. Making it available for donation of $20, plus a brochure will be included on how you can find out a bit more about Michelle Perry's ministry. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or our archives, or subscribe to our radio and TV podcasts, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.